Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, September 22nd. Got a couple of good songs and then the message from the Word of God. Well, amen. We are continuing the message that we actually began on Friday and continued yesterday on the broadcast. We're going to continue that today and tomorrow. And then we'll complete it on tomorrow's broadcast. But right now we're looking at Matthew chapter number 5, zeroing in on verse number 6. We've been at that now 2.5 weeks. And we're looking at the blessed beatitude of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I'm preaching this week on developing a desire. Now, today's message is going to have parts of yesterday's message and the Friday before. It'll have part of that, but then we're coming in with some new material, and as I said, we will complete this on tomorrow's broadcast. So I hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live in the auditorium of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. Matthew chapter 5. I want to look at verse 6 again this morning. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There ought to be a hunger developed. And there's ways to develop a hunger and a thirst after God. Amen. A lot of the things that I'll talk about will be foreign and alien to our world today. And will even possibly be offensive to many in our world today. Because we're living in a day when people say things like that. I'm talking about in our spiritual realm. People say, how dare you insinuate that we're in need of something? Don't you realize that we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing? That's our average world today, isn't it? They're fine with nobody getting saved. They're fine with nothing, no movement going on, no conviction of the Holy Ghost, no remorse over sin, and no rejoicing over salvation. They're fine with just going through the ritual and through the routine. Amen. But I'm going to tell you that we need a spiritual appetite. What could be done to cause us to have a better spiritual appetite? Now, I believe there's 4 simple things that I want to point out this morning. They're profound, although they're simple, that I hope will stoke the fire of your soul and turn your heart towards God and towards the things of God that might help us to see. First of all, I believe the worship of God is important. We'll never do much, never accomplish much for God out of just a simple sense of duty. Well, I have to. I have to go to church. I have to go to Sunday school. I have to go to preaching. I have to sing the songs. I have to shake the hands. I have to smile now and then. I have to be, listen, just a sense of duty will only get you so far. But when we see God as the good God that He is, it ought to spur in us a little notion of worship. As worshiping God sparks a fire that burns and yearns to please God. That drives us to holiness. Amen. Have you not had times in your life? Maybe it's just meditating on the Word of God. Maybe it's sitting in a service and somebody was singing, or maybe in a part of a sermon or even in a testimony. But in that moment of your life, you felt the presence of God. I mean, it was as if God was so near and God was there. And when you realized that God was there, it did something in your heart. It changed you more than normal days going to church. Amen. More than just the other times of hearing a song or listening to a sermon, those that had changed you. And you know what it did? It sparked you to love Him more. Amen. If it's on a Sunday morning that God met with you that way, you couldn't wait to get back to the house of God for Sunday night. Amen. You know why? Because worship stirs us towards God and causes us to want Him and long for Him even more. Amen. This event of communion with God through the Holy Ghost causes us to love Him more and causes us to strive for holiness and active service more than we have in the past. Amen.
Psalm 122 verse 1 says this, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Not only worship, but number two, the Word of God stirs our hunger for God. The Bible promotes holiness and purity. Amen. Isn't it amazing that in our courthouses they're scared to death of somebody having to see a verse that says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Amen. They're worried to death about that. Why? Because those words carry more weight than what that judge on the bench carries. Amen. Those words carry more weight than those lawyers and the politicians and all the other crowd that's there. Amen. Those words carry some weight, and those words call for purity. Those words call for holiness. Amen. Now, when we get to studying the Bible, maybe we just read it systematically, but we read it devotedly, we start to develop a spiritual appetite for the things of God. Amen. It gives us a spiritual appetite for the things of God, and it weans us more and more from the things of the flesh and the things of the world. Amen. It weans us from those things. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 verses 9 through 11. Here's what the Bible says. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And here's the answer. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. I'm telling you, the reading of the Bible will promote holiness and purity. Reading some books will promote all kinds of lustful thoughts, all kinds of covetous thoughts, all kinds of sensual and sinful thoughts in your mind, even rebellious thoughts reading certain books. Amen. But reading the Bible will promote holiness. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. They say that D.L. Moody said this. He said, that book, sir, will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from that book. I say amen, Mr. Moody. John Butler said it this way. I like the way he said it. He said, quote, getting into the Word of God is like hanging around the kitchen when good food is cooking. It inspires an appetite. That's a good quote. Getting into the Word of God is like hanging around the kitchen when good food is cooking. It inspires an appetite. That's probably why the Apostle Peter was instructed to instruct newborn Christians to hunger after the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Amen. If you don't hunger after the Word of God like you should, you won't grow like you should. Amen. But if you'll hunger after the Word of God, it'll cause you to grow thereby. Your mama ever put something on your plate and you said, I don't like it. And she said, eat it, it'll help you. Amen. It'll help you. You see, the Word of God's good food. It's also good medicine. Amen. Everything in the Word of God don't taste like cherry pie. Some of it tastes like medicine. But it'll do you good. It'll do you good. Amen. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. The Apostle Paul instructing young Timothy about the consumption of sound doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verses 6 through 8, you know that Timothy's a young preacher and Paul's telling him how to preach and how to pastor, really, he's dealing this. But he's giving him something for himself and his brethren. He says in verse number 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Look at this phrase, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Whereunto thou hast attained. Now I'm going to read some more in a minute, but here's what Paul said. Paul said, you need to eat good, sound doctrine. You need to digest good, sound doctrine. You need to consume, have a good daily consumption of good, sound doctrine. Amen. Every now and then I'll read something that I know I'm going to disagree with when I start it. I just want to see where they're coming from in their argument. I listened to a sermon, it's been a few years ago, to a sermon on sermon audio entitled, Why We Baptize Babies. We don't baptize babies. I was interested to see where he got a verse of scripture. He didn't get it out of the Bible. There's not a verse of scripture for baptizing babies in the Bible. Not one. Not one. But I was interested to see, and I could tell you what he said. They take scripture and turn it on its head, make it say what it never said, make it say actually what it's saying not to do, and they say that's how. But I listened to what he had to say, knowing that I was going to disagree with him before it ever started, but I was interested to see where his argument was coming from, because I knew he wasn't going to persuade me. That's my point. He wasn't going to persuade me in his argument, but I was interested to see what direction he came from. But here's what Paul said. Paul's telling Timothy, Timothy, you be careful to make sure you get full of that sound doctrine. Amen. There's nothing wrong with eating ice cream once in a while, Brother Kuhn. Is that all right? Nothing wrong with eating ice cream once in a while. But make sure you don't live on it. It ain't good for you to live on. You won't live long on it. Amen. All right. So he said the consumption. Let me go back there. He's talking about nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Where into thou hast the thing? Look at verse 7. But refuse profane no wives' fables. And exercise thyself rather unto God. So he says some things you can consume and some things you need not to. And then you need to exercise. Look at verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little. That don't mean don't do any of it. It just means don't go overboard with it. It does profit a little. Right? But godliness is profitable unto all things. Amen. So don't do a little Bible reading, do a little exercise and a lot of Bible reading. That's what he's saying. Amen. Do a lot of ingesting and consuming the Word of God. Amen. For godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Thank God. It'll help me in this life and it'll help me in the next life. Amen. Amen. I probably told this before, but I remember some years ago hearing a preacher tell about that he was a Southern Baptist. He had been to the convention. I forget where they'd held it. This was back in the 80s. And you remember in the 70s, Jimmy Carter came out with his president's physical fitness thing, that he started getting everybody on the physical fitness side of things. And they promoted that through schools. And it got to be real, jogging got to be real popular. This fellow said he was down in the Bible bookstore and he was looking, just looking around, and this fellow comes up and he's jogging in place while he's sitting there looking at the books. And he says, the guy says to him, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a preacher. The other fellow says, well, he said, I'm a doctor. He said, but I'm really into jogging. He said, what are you into? And that preacher said, well, I'm into preaching. And he says, well, you don't exercise? He said, well, yeah. He said, how do you get exercise? He said, I preach funerals for joggers. That's exercise. Amen. It'll profit a little. I'm not saying don't do it, and I'm not mocking doing exercise. I believe we probably need to do more than we do. But I am saying this. Don't just have a little Bible reading. That's what he said. This Word of God will help you extraordinarily if you'll have a hunger and a thirst after God and godliness. Amen. The Word of God will increase that hunger. The worship of God will increase that hunger. Number 3, the work of God will increase that hunger. Just as physical exertion produces a desire for the body to ingest more food, I believe likewise when we do something for God, it causes our soul to long for more of God. Some spiritual exercise, whether it be witnessing or praying or praising or preaching, some spiritual exercise that we do produces and exerts spiritual energies. Therefore, I believe it causes our soul to hunger and thirst to be refueled. Amen. I'll give you an illustration of that. You ever been talking to somebody? Just witnessing to them. Whether you're standing at a door, you've knocked on the door, and it's, as they say, a cold call, or whether it's a loved one or somebody you work with, and you're just talking to them about the Lord. And in the process of talking to them about the Lord, bragging on how good God is, talking about the church or whatever it is, in the process of talking to them, you find yourself sending up a prayer to God saying, Lord, help this seed to find some good soil. And Lord, I pray send somebody by to water that. You know what you're doing? You've exerted energy and given them the gospel, and your soul is longing for more, more of that energy so you can see God get the glory out of all of it. Amen. When you do something for God, it causes you to long for more of God. Amen. I remember several years ago, my uncle, my dad's youngest brother, owns a logging business. And his, at that time, his timber cutter was my former pastor. And my Uncle Jerry had a skidder driver. His skidder driver got hurt. And I went and filled in for him a little while. Well, he hired a young man I went to school with. We'd went through elementary and high school together. And he hired this young man. This young man was a good sized young man. He's always big. He was probably about 6'5" and weighed well over 300 pounds. And, just a big fella. And in those days, my Uncle Skidder didn't have the pinchers that you grab the logs and just pull them. It had the cables that you had to get out and pull the cable and go down there where the tree was and wrap the cable around that log. And sometimes you had to dig under the log, wrap the cable around and hook it up and then climb back up the hill and winch that thing up the hill and go off down, whatever. And when you got to the mill yard where the bucksaw was and the knuckle boom was, you pull those logs in there, you'd have to get off and unhook those. Sometimes it had grabs. At one time it had the grabs. You had to take a hammer and knock those grabs out, or you had to unhook that cable and then get on out of the way. This young man, his name was John. John would back the skidder down to the trees that had been cut down, and then he'd yell for the timber cutter to hook them up. Instead of getting down and hooking them up himself, he'd yell for the timber cutter to hook them up. And then he'd pull them down to the yard. And he'd yell for the fella running the bucksaw to get down out of the knuckle boom and come and unhook him. That didn't last long. They sent him on his way. Well, he called me and asked me if I'd come fill in for him a few days so he could get somebody else. And I remember I went down there and was working the first day, and it was hot and sweaty, and you know how it is. And I mean, it was a mess. And Melissa packed me a lunch. You're out in the woods, by the way. They don't have McDonald's and restaurants out in the woods. And you only got a certain amount of time, but one thing it'll do, it'll make you eat. You don't care what it is. Potted meat, vienna's, deviled ham, amen. You'll eat whatever there is set before you, amen, because you're hungry. I remember I was sitting there eating my lunch, and John shows up to get his check. And John comes riding up, and I said, John, you want something? I got the extra here if you want something. He said, no, I don't ever eat lunch. That's what he said, I don't ever eat lunch. Burrow, my former pastor, he said, if you'd jump up and out of that skidder a time or two, do a little work now and then, he said, you'd be glad to eat lunch. Amen. He said it right too, by the way. Now here's the point I'm making. I said all that to get to this point, not to tell you my experience or that, but it is the truth that when you exert some energy, you exert some labor working, it makes supper taste better. Amen. It makes the meals better, and you're glad to get there. Physical labor. The harder it is, the more strenuous it is, the more appetite for food, because you're burning those calories and you're burning up that and you're needing that. I'm going to tell you, when we face conflict in the spiritual realm, it is good for us because it can help us develop a spiritual appetite. Amen. We'll find ourselves wanting to pray more.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in the message right there, but Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow and continue this message. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.